KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy, breezy. We have 65 degrees. We're looking for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms redeveloping late this afternoon, a high around 85. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. A man from Pottawatomie County was found guilty Monday in Cass County District Court on charges resulting from a pursuit that occurred nearly a year ago. Judge Jeffrey Larson found 38-year-old Joseph Lee Ray Bartlett of Council Bluffs guilty on five counts, two counts of assault on persons in certain occupations, two counts of criminal mischief in the second degree, and one count of eluding. His sentencing date has not yet been set. Bartlett, who had earlier waived his rights to a jury trial, remains in the Cass County Jail, where he's been held since January 10th. Bartlett was the subject of a July 3rd, 2016 pursuit that went through Pottawatomie County and into Griswold on Highway 92. The SUV he was driving was traveling at speeds of up to 90 miles per hour through Griswold, and it continued east to Highway 71, where Cass County Deputy Ben Bartholomew was waiting with stop sticks deployed. The SUV hit the sticks at around 1:30 that morning and entered a field, came back up out of the ditch, and rammed into the rear of Bartholomew's cruiser. The SUV continued into the intersection at Lyman, where Pott County deputies performed a pit maneuver on the vehicle. The SUV continued and eventually struck Deputy Bartholomew's cruiser on the front and nearly struck Deputy Kyle Quist's SUV. The suspect continued to drive south on Highway 71 for a couple of miles before the vehicle finally became disabled. There were no injuries reported from that incident. Bartlett was then taken into custody and transported to the Pott County Jail, where he was charged with eluding with injury and OWI first offense. His jury trial there is set to begin July 25th. Bartlett pled guilty earlier this year in Montgomery County to charges of burglary in the third degree and theft in the second. He was given a five-year suspended prison sentence with credit for time served, plus 2 years probation. Unofficial results from the Pottawatomie County Auditor's Office late last night indicated Republican John Jacobson had won a special election for Iowa House District 22 to fill a vacancy created in May by the death of Representative Greg Forrestal. Jacobson currently serves as a senior trust officer and vice president of a bank in Council Bluffs. According to the Auditor's Office, Jacobson garnered nearly 44% of the vote at 1,069. Carol Forrestal, the widow of late Greg Forrestal, who was running as an independent, received nearly one-third of the votes at 803. Democrat Ray Stevens, who ran as a write-in candidate, received just over 19% of the votes at 465. And Libertarian candidate Brian Holder received 98 votes, or slightly more than 4%. Voter turnout was a little more than 9.5%, with 2,441 votes being cast out of 23,723 registered voters in 16 precincts. Six of those ballots were blank. Voters in the Griswold Community School District Tuesday approved public measure for the issuance of $9.9 million in general obligation bonds for improvements to the district's facilities. The unofficial total from the Cass County Auditor's Office showed nearly 63%, or 589 of the voters, said yes, while nearly 38%, 354, said no. A 60% supermajority was needed in order for the measure to pass. The results of the votes will be canvassed during a meeting of the Cass County Board of Supervisors. Griswold Superintendent Dave Henricks told KJAN News last night that he was pleased with the turnout and results.
This will put the district in the best position possible moving forward, both educationally and financially, and definitely want to thank members of the Facility Committee and the FACT Committee, of course our partners with KPE and ESSIS, and of course the school board and the staff, because it was really a team approach that allowed us to get this passed.
A $9.9 million bond issue would help to pay for a new 33,000 square foot elementary building on the south side of the Griswold Middle School High School campus. The district's other buildings and students will be consolidated into the one campus location at Griswold. The results of the vote show the measure was approved by a majority of those casting their ballots in Griswold and those who voted absentee. The same could not be said for those casting ballots in Elliott and Lewis. Henricks said the patrons of the district living in Elliott and Lewis should not feel like their voice is not less important than persons in the larger part of the district.
Obviously, we want to make sure that they're aware that they're a valued member of our school system. And we want to make sure we try to do our best to repurpose that building both at Lewis and Elliott, because obviously that's a landmark for them, and we're going to work very hard at that. But as we mentioned during our community meetings, we can't make any guarantees, because the other piece of that is that we've heard strongly from the community that they don't want it to become an eyesore. So we're going to do our best moving forward, and definitely want them to know that they're a valued portion of our district.
Henrik said nothing will happen with the buildings right away because there's a lot of pieces that still need to fall in place before students move into their new classrooms. He said also that the bonds for the project won't even be sold until next spring because the tax rates are already set until June 2018.
So there is a chance that we'll try to get a bridge loan, so to speak, to get some operating money to begin construction, you know, in the spring before the bonds are sold. But that's something we'll have to work through with the board and our financing folks and those kind of things.
In the funeral announcements, Beverly K. Stringer, age 74, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Beverly Stringer will be this morning at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Geraldine Fox, age 49, of Manila, died June 19th. Funeral services for Geraldine Fox will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in United Church of Manila, that is. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Stephen Gross, age 40, of Shelby, died June the 10th. Funeral services for Stephen Gross will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Irene Barnes, age 93, of Casey, died Saturday. Graveside services for Irene Barnes will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Oakwood Cemetery in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Otto Benken, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday in Anita. Funeral services for Otto Benken will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Wendell Fleming, age 99, of Manila, died June 21st. Graveside services for Wendell Fleming will be held July 1st at Saturday at the Exira Cemetery beginning at 10 a.m. The Cremation Society of Iowa has the arrangements. Irene Ulrich, age 96, of Atlantic, died June 3rd at CCMH. A celebration of life graveside service for Irene Ulrich will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the South Lawn Memory Gardens Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Florence Enochson, age 99, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Services for Florence Enochson are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Eldon Vega, age 90, of Adair, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Eldon Vega are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.